the book of Luke, and I want to speak to you this morning on, I'm not sure what. I'm going to read the scripture, see what happens. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her newborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Of course, he wasn't born in a manger, but he was laid in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful as I read this account of the glory that came to this earth 2,000 years ago or so. As I read it, Lord, I'm thinking, Lord, what would it be like to have stood there with those shepherds and seen the hosts of heaven, heaven opened up, and the words coming forth declaring good tidings, peace. Oh, God, help us this morning, Lord, to look to you and only to you in these hours of the closing of time. Honor us with your presence this morning. Lord, we felt the great joy of the Lord as the songs of Zion was being sung, and praise and the worship that went forth. But now, Lord, there's nothing any of us can do without Christ that would strengthen us. Strengthen us this morning. Let your anointing, God, be upon us that destroys the yoke of the enemy. Speak to us the words of life. Lord, you said you cast out spirits with your word. Let the word of God come forth this morning that would renew us and transform us. God, that would motivate us, that would place a great purpose back in our lives. Lord, we've lost our way as a church, as a body of believers. Speak to us today, God. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him? And suddenly there was the angel, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know, since this time, there hasn't been nothing but trouble, war, upsetness, strife, jealousy, hatred. It seemed like this announcement didn't do anything for people, because mankind didn't really change. It was still the same. Wars went on. People fought. People killed one another. All the sins that's listed in the scriptures, they kept on sinning. It seemed like it was just all in vain what this angel said, what this host of heaven was saying. Even Jesus said, Think not that I am come to bring peace, but a sword to set at variance the wife against the children, the husband against the wife. He said, Don't think that I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. I come to divide. And you think back, well, God, what's the world happening here? These angels, this host of heaven, They told us that there was going to be peace among men, and that we should rejoice, and there was going to be goodwill. And what happened? Well, when you really look at the scripture, it's not saying that at all. It's not saying that there's going to be peace in among men. It's not really saying. You know what it's really saying? It's really saying, and let me read it real close, real slow. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Toward men. You know what the excitement in heaven was all about? Do you realize what this host of heaven was really shouting about? That the controversy that God, the creator of the universe, this great conflict that he had against man, this war that he had declared against man from the fall of Adam, this great conflict that God had with man was going to end. And the heavenly host was saying, peace, goodwill from God toward man. Because the babe, Christ, was born. The answer to man's problem was being birthed into the earth. The one that had been prophesied to come for generations after generations after generations had been born that night. And the heavenly host was declaring that all of heaven was excited. All of the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom that's in heaven, was so excited because this war with man was going to end through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, yes, the peace that he brought was the peace that we could have with God. The joy that he brought was the joy in knowing that the war or the problem with how God had with us had ended through Christ. The Bible says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I want you to know, when Jesus come, he didn't come just to cover up your sins. He didn't come to condemn us for our sins. He came, hallelujah, praise God, to take away the sin of the world. No wonder heaven was rejoicing. No wonder the angels were excited. No wonder, hallelujah, that heaven was being shaken. Not only was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was being born, but the very reason he was being born was what they were shouting about. That Jesus had come to liberate man, to set man free. Oh, you talk about the great deliverer Moses, how he had delivered the children out of the land of Egypt. Amen. Don't you realize he was a type and a shadow, hallelujah, of the coming Messiah, and how Moses stood between God and the people when God wanted to destroy the people. And Moses reminded God what he had promised the people. I want you to know this same Jesus, hallelujah, amen, that we talk about and we sing about. He didn't just come, amen, to died across. He came, praise God, amen, to bring peace and harmony with you and I toward God and God toward us. Amen. And now we can come boldly before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to know this day, your righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do, hallelujah, to qualify ourselves, amen, and be holy enough to approach a holy God. Don't you understand? The only way to approach God is faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. When I pray, I'm not praying because, amen, of that, reminding God of my own righteousness, because I want you to know that's not going to get it. But when I pray, I'm praying, amen, through Christ, amen, because of what he did for me, hallelujah. And I expect God to honor that prayer, not because of me, but because of Jesus himself. He came to liberate us. Don't you understand? The whole world was lying in bondage. Amen. The world, amen, was in Egypt. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, amen, was bound in Egypt. Amen. They were bound in sin. Egypt is a type of bondage. It's a type of sin. And we were bound, hallelujah, amen, as Egyptians without God. I want you to know, even the Israelites, which was God's people, they had transgressed his laws. And God said, amen, your feast days is a stench unto my nostrils. Amen. He had told the people and warned the people over and over that he was going to turn from them if they did not turn unto him. Over and over, God had sent them messengers and prophets warning them of their sins, but they could not stop their sins. No man has ever been able. And I said this the other night, and I'm going to say it again. There has never been a man that's ever lived upon this earth without sin except one. I don't care how holy they were. I don't care, amen, if they got themselves off into a cave somewhere and never touched the world. Amen. What was within them, their sinful thoughts. Amen. It was there. But there was one man that was found worthy, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who became sin for us. Hallelujah. I said he became sin for us. I want you to know, on that cross, God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Upon that cross, amen, he put all of our sins upon Jesus Christ. I want you to know, when Jesus cried out in the Hebrew tongue, amen, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want you to know, at that instant, I believe at that moment of time, I believe all the sins of mankind from the beginning of time, amen, to the end of time was placed upon Jesus Christ. And God the Father could not abide in that body at that particular time, because amen, he had to separate himself. And at that instant of time, when God the Father left that body, I want you to know, all of my sins, all of your sins, was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died as a supreme sacrifice for my sins. And not only my sins, my past sins, but he died for my present sins, and he died for my future sins. I want you to know tonight, amen, or today rather, that the Lord of heaven, the Lord of glory, when he came, hallelujah, he came, amen, as a substitute for you and I. Because we are worthy of nothing but death. There's not a person in this room or a person will ever hear this message, amen, that's worthy of eternal life. Nobody is worthy of eternal life. And that's why Jesus came on the scene. The angels and the host of heaven was announcing, hallelujah, that God was ending the conflict. That God, amen, from the beginning of time, hallelujah, amen, had brought forth, amen, the one, hallelujah, that was going to defeat the enemy, hallelujah. And I want you to know, when that instant of time came, when the Spirit left him, amen, and he hung there on the cross, amen, naked before all of the people about him, all before the women and all, he hung upon that cross, naked and bleeding. I want you to know, he took a beating, not only for my sins, but he took a beating, hallelujah, amen, for my healing. I want you to know, by his stripes, we were healed on the cross of Calvary, amen. We were healed from our sins. We don't need anymore, and we don't have to anymore live after the course of this world, because the Son of God has come and ended the controversy that God had with man. The Bible says, turn with me quickly to 1 John, or rather St. John. Do you love him this morning? I'm telling you, I'm stirred up. I'm like Brother Sorrow. I'm stirred up. Hemi wants to be stirred up. I want God to stir me like never before. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same come for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man. Somebody say every man. Which lighteth, see, because Jesus came for every man. Somebody say every man. I said Jesus come not for a select few people. He didn't just come for the Jew. He didn't just come for the Gentile. He didn't just come for the heathen. He come for all men. Amen. And that light, he was the light. Hallelujah. Amen. And he was sent to bear witness of that light. This was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And listen to this, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not, listen, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want you to know, amen. See, when Jesus came, mankind, amen, was far from God. They were living in darkness. They were living in bondage. It didn't matter if they was a prophet. It didn't matter if they was a king. It didn't matter what their job was. They were all in darkness. But when the true light came, he came, amen, amen, to end the conflict, that war, and amen, and that problem that God had with man. I want you to know what the problem is that God had with man. The Bible says God was angry at the wicked every day. Amen. I want you to know God was angry with the wicked every day. But see, I want you to understand this. God made a difference through Christ. And God was no longer going to be angry with man if man would accept the true light. If man would accept the Christ. If man would believe upon him that he would sin, the conflict would be over. Brother, the war would be over. Peace indeed would have came back to man, and not only amen salvation, but that light, that burning light. Praise God. You know what else he did? He gave us power to become the sons of God. We could have never been the sons of God. We could have never been grafted into the vine. We could have never been, hallelujah, a part of the great sonship of God without Christ coming. But when he come, he give every man, every woman, power to them that believed. Somebody say believe. To them that received him, to them that believed upon him, they received power to become sons of God. The Bible says that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That word joint means equal. I want you to know, whatever God the Father has placed upon Jesus, whatever God the Father has given unto Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Whatever God the Father, the glory that Jesus said, the glory that I had with thee before the world was, I'm going to give it unto them. I want you to know, I cannot explain to you tonight. I cannot explain to you what the glory was, amen, that he had. But I do know this, that what he had, the Bible says, we're equal heirs thereof. Whatever he's got, I mean, he knows all power in heaven and earth had been invested in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lord, and I'm a joint heir with what he has. Praise God. And since I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and have become, amen, one of the sons of God, I have been placed in a remarkable position. I have been placed in a position that I'm not worthy of, because there's no way that I could have ever come to this except through Christ. But because of Christ, because of what he done on the cross, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, he has enabled me and enabled you to stand before the throne of God without a sin in your life, because of the blood of Jesus. And he's given you the authority to speak the word. Come on. When the centurion come to him with a problem with one of his servants, he come to him and said, speak the word only, because I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. But I'm a man of authority. And he recognized Jesus was a man of authority. And he said, listen, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word. and my servant will be healed. I want you to know Jesus was amazed at this. Hallelujah. He was amazed because he had not seen, amen, such faith all in Israel. But here was a centurion. Here was a Roman soldier. Here was a heathen. Here was a Gentile. Here was a dog coming to him, just like the little woman that came to Jesus, amen, with a sick child and asked the Lord for healing. And he looked at the woman and said, amen, it's not meet for me to give the crumbs or the bread unto dogs. Call the woman a dog. But I want you to know, amen, she testified, amen, that the dogs eat at the master, the crumbs of the master's table in all of Israel. He had not found that kind of faith. But here was a Samaritan woman, amen, who was not a Jew, that had more faith than those that believed or should have been in the household of God. What was happening? Amen. What we were seeing, amen, was something that was coming. Amen. When Jesus was at the woman at the well and he began to preach to her and talk to her, he let her understand, amen, that God was seeking a people that would worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, you go up into the mountains and worship. We go here to the temple to worship, but it's not going to be that way. Amen. Because God is going to feel his glory in all the earth, because the war had ended and peace, goodwill was extended toward man through Christ. I believe if we could just glimpse, if we could just understand a fleeting moment of what Jesus really did for us, what God did for us when he sent his only son. If we could just grasp it a moment, I don't believe there'd be nothing to hinder your prayer. Because you know what? Most people pray and they don't get because they don't feel worthy. Are you listening to me? They don't feel worthy because they've committed a sin. They've messed up. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none holy. Come on. He's not talking about you don't have to live for God. He's just talking about the sheer fact of the matter is the best you can do is not good enough. The best you live is not good enough. The only sacrifice, hallelujah, that is acceptable unto God is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question. The Bible says, offer up your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is in the Word of God. That's submitting yourself to God. That's giving yourself over to the Lord. Amen. And inviting His presence, the Holy Spirit of the living God, to dwell in you. Hallelujah. You can't make it on your own. You've got to have the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. Because He gives us power. Praise God. Not only power, amen, amen, to speak the Word, but power over our will, power over our ideas, power of what we want to be. He gives you power, praise God, amen, no matter what your situation is, amen, like Sister Glennon was preaching, amen, the other morning, a great message, if God's not moving, then move God. God is listening for somebody, hallelujah, to believe by faith that you can move him, but you cannot move him in your own holiness, you can't move him in your own righteousness, only through Christ can you move God. Amen. And when you understand it, and only when you understand it is when you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Only when you understand it is when you can come boldly to the throne of God. Are you listening? I want you to know when Jesus came, he talked about the power that was going to come upon the sons of God. He began to tell them about how many the Spirit, amen, would flow out of our bellies like rivers of living water. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Bible said he spake of the Spirit which was promised, was going to be given to them. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus promised us, amen, the Holy Ghost. John said, he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Amen. Whose shoelace I'm not worthy even to unloosen. Amen. But he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I want you to know Jesus, he's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. He came to baptize each and every one of his believers. Amen. Not because of their worthiness, not because of some form, but simply because the war, the conflict that God had with you has ended in Christ, and now you have access. to the fullness of God's Spirit. Jesus promised, amen, a life and an abundant life. A more abundant life than what the world was living. I want you to understand, it all comes by faith. The way I can serve God, I can serve God. I can live, amen, holy. I can live godly. I can live, amen, like the Word of God tells me. Not in my own strength, but simply because that's what Jesus enabled me and empowered me to do when I depend upon myself. That's why, amen, my sister, that's when I begin to walk in the flesh. When I depend upon my own righteousness, upon my own holiness, amen, that's when I begin to walk in the flesh. But when I depend upon His holiness, when I depend upon His righteousness, when I depend upon His Spirit that He has imparted to me, that's when, hallelujah, I begin to walk in the Spirit. Praise God. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, I want you to understand, all demonic forces and powers are subject to me through Jesus Christ, because I'm living and abiding in the Holy Ghost. They come up to the apostles one time. They were turning the world upside down. Everywhere they went, something was happening. Are you listening? And they come to this one town, and they said, the gods have come down from heaven. I think it was Paul and Barnabas, maybe. In that town, the power of God was so strong. People were being healed and delivered. Miracles were happening on every hand. And they said, the gods have come down and visited us because of the power of God who had been wrought by these men. You know what's happened? You know what they said? Paul and Barnabas began to tear their clothes. They began to tear their clothes off. And they said, men and brethren, it's not by our own holiness or power that these men, these people have been set free. But it's because, come on, it's because, oh my Lord and my God, don't you see, praise God, it's not in your goodness, it's not in your righteousness. You don't have to be a goody two shoes. All you got to do is be a servant of God. And I'm telling you, when you faith, all of your faith is what Christ did at Calvary, what He did upon the cross, and He died for your sins, and He died to be as you become the sons of God. I'm telling you, you can turn the world upside down just like the apostles did, because you got that relationship figured out. There is therefore no condemnation to them who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. See, that condemnation ends by walking in the Spirit. How? How do I do this? By believing what Jesus did. Because walking in the flesh, we were explaining a little bit the last night, I think. We have a little Bible study. Walking in the Spirit is, well, let me put it this way. Walking in the flesh is not just committing a carnal sin. Walking in the flesh is not just committing adultery or fornication or drunkenness, or whatever the problem is. Walking in the flesh is walking outside what Jesus did on the cross. Walking in the flesh is walking in your own power, in your own will, with your own understanding. How many of you ever heard somebody say, I can do this, well, I'll do that, get out of my way, I'm me. It's I. No, there's no I, there's no we. You can know nothing, amen, unless Jesus comes, amen, into your life. But when He comes into you, you can be like the Apostle Paul and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See, it's everything is in Christ. He is the centerpiece of the entire Word of God. He is the chief cornerstone, and He is also the head of the corner. Amen. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the firstborn, oh my God. He's the first man born of God. He's the firstborn, hallelujah. And I want you to understand, He's my elder brother, my God. He's my Lord. He's my maker. He's my God. He's everything to me, because it is God's will that we meet Him. Only in Christ. And when you get it finally figured out in your little brain that it's not because of your own power, not because of your own lineage, I think Sister Glenn would mention how that you got grandpa preacher, daddy preacher, grandson preachers, great-grandson preachers, all by lineage. I've seen some of them on TV. They walk alike, they quack alike, they waddle alike. Come on. Because, amen, they've got their own attributes, amen, of Papa and Grandpa, amen. And they got their attributes, but their attributes need to be changed. I don't want man's attributes. I want the attributes of Christ in my life. I want to put on His holiness, because I know nine is nothing, amen, as far as God's concerned. I realize the conflict is over. There's nothing that I can do about my sins except fall on that rock before it falls on me. He's my answer. Don't you realize Christ is your answer? Jesus is your answer. Hallelujah. Amen. To everything that you need in your life, it's all in Him. And when that commitment is made, everything changes. The Bible talks about all things becoming new. Is that right? When you're born of the Spirit, there's a transformation that occurs. You become a new creation in God, a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. And now that relationship, see, is not with the flesh. It's with God through Jesus. I want us to understand this morning that there is nothing, no form of life that you could line up with every standard that ever man ever devised in the church world, and still nothing happened. Do you realize that in my small ministry, I have probably seen more sinner people healed than I have church folks. I have seen more sinner people receive miracles probably than church people. You know why? You really want to know why? Because most church folks are depending on their own holiness, their own worthiness. Come on. Lord, you know I pay my tithes. Lord, you know I keep the Sabbath day. Lord, you know I show up for church every time it's open. Lord, you know I pray. Lord, you know, I mean, I'm better than all this other bunch of people. Come on, ain't that right? That's the way church folks are. That's the way religious people are. It's because of their appearance that they appear to someone that they think they're righteous. But see, God's not concerned with none of that junk. He's concerned what's in your heart. Amen. And see, that heart that has been transformed, not by their own ability, but simply believing the scripture of why Jesus came. That conflict, see, you were an enemy to God. How many know what an enemy to God is? An enemy to God standing on the outside. The carnal mind, the Bible says, is enmity toward God. What's it saying? The reasoning power of the human mind, the natural mind, the natural way of thinking, is an enemy to God. See, man thinks he's got to do something to get saved. Surely there's something I got to do to inherit eternal life. But there's got to be something for me to do. But you know what the fact of the matter is? There is nothing that you can do except one. Believe on the script, Him. As the Scripture has said. If you believe on Him as the Scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Are you listening? Nothing. There's nothing you can do. Surely, Brother Hayes, if I go to church and if I do this and if I keep these rules and these regulations, that I'll be saved. That has nothing to do with it. Come on, are you listening? That relationship that God has honored us with through Jesus Christ is our only way to God. Amen. He said, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Does that just simply mean that every time I turn a corner, I say, in the name of Jesus? Does that mean every deed that I do, I say, in the name of Jesus? No, it's saying do it with the authority that the name of Jesus enables you or empowers you with. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it with the power of Jesus' name. Do it with the anointing that He's placed in you. Don't depend on your own ability. Don't depend on your own resources. Don't depend on your own education. Don't depend on your own background. But depend solely. It doesn't mean a flip who your daddy is or who your mama was. It don't mean nothing. But what really means something is if you have found the right relationship with God by according to what the Scripture says. Amen. And when we figure it out, that's when you can start turning your world upside down. That's when you, like Sister Glenn was bringing forth that message. My God, that set me on fire. If God's not moving, move God. But how can I move God? Can I move Him because I'm holy? Can I move Him because I'm a preacher? Can I move Him because I got a black shirt on? Can I move Him because I got a Catholic collar on? How can I move Him? Only one way. By faith in what Jesus did at the cross. That's how to move God. Because you know what God's looking at? He's not looking at you. He's looking at the blood. His focus is not on your sins. It's not on your shortcomings. It's not on what you do good. It's not on what you do bad. It's on the blood. That's what God's focus is at. Y'all don't believe me. I'm telling you the truth. His focus is on the blood. His focus is on His Son. Can you say amen? But it's all because of Him that we have this access. And if we would wake up, praise God, I think it was the Apostle John wrote in 1 John or 2 John somewhere, he says, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Praise God. Now are we the sons of God. It's not that we're going to be sons of God way over in glory somewhere. It's not we're going to be sons of God, amen, over the horizon somewhere or beyond Jupiter somewhere or Mars or Pluto somewhere. No, now are we the sons of God. What's John saying? We're the sons of God now. We have privileges now. You've got power now. You've got rights now. You've got authority now as the sons of God. Because God, because of Jesus, has enabled you and empowered you, amen, to turn the world upside down. I tell you what, I'm stirring up and I'm ready, praise God, to turn the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the world, amen, it's out here, it's moaning and it's groaning. People are hurting. People are losing their jobs and their wives and their children and their homes, amen, because all hell is turned loose in the earth today. But it's not because that God's angry with you. His anger has ended with you through Jesus Christ if you have received Him. He's turning everything upside down to awaken a sleeping giant. He's turning everything upside down to awaken a people that are called by His name. Amen. 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 You can run from God. I've run from God myself. Amen. I didn't want to have nothing to do with God. I've run as far as I could go. Amen. Trying to get away from God. Amen. There was a man in the Bible. Praise God. He was a prophet. And he ran from God. But God cracked him down in the belly of a great fish and delivered him and set him out, amen, on the shore, and he became a great prophet of God. So you can run from God, but you can't outrun Him. He'll track you down. You can get disgusted and regusted with people. You can get aggravated with church folks. And how many know church people will make you backslide? Preachers will make you backslide. Come on, you know it's the truth. Praise God, as soon as you get your eyes on somebody, amen, they're going to disappoint you. But I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ will never disappoint you. I'm telling you, put your faith not in the wisdom of men, amen, or in the flesh of man, or in the arm of flesh, but put everything you got, faith in Jesus Christ, who's able, amen, to turn everything around for you. I tell you, He can turn it around physically, mentally, mostly, financially, spiritually, every way. When you put your faith in Him. But when our faith, this is why people, they will travel 5,000 miles to get to a deliverance preacher that's got some holy water or something. You understand? And they want, amen, somebody to come down, the angels come down and sprinkle stardust all over them and make everything go away. See, they're not walking in the Spirit. Their trust is not in God. Their trust is not in the blood of Jesus. Their trust is in a man. Their trust is in some manifestation of what's happening at some particular event. But when your trust is in Jesus, He'll never let you down. I'll tell you, I've been through thick and thin. How many have been through thick and thin? Mostly thin. Amen. Been through hell on this earth many a time. I've done without, I've been without. I've been on top and I've been on the bottom. I've had money and I've had nothing. Can you say amen? You know what I found? Praise God, when Jesus is closest to me, it's when I don't have anything. He's closer to me, amen, when I have great needs. Praise God. There's just something about the presence of God. When I'm in trouble, praise the Lord. It seems like, praise God, God just builds up my faith in Him that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything I can think or ask according to the power that He's placed in my life. I'm telling you, amen, if you'll submit yourself to God, all you got to do is resist the devil and he's going to take his tail and he's going to run from you. Why? Because, not because of your power, but because you submitted to God. How do you submit to God? Only through the blood of Jesus can you submit to God. Let's wake up this morning. Let's realize it's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. When I read that, where He came to His own and His own received Him not, that's a troubling thing. He came to the Jew and they wouldn't receive Him. But then I turned and I said, well, thank God that there was others that received Him. It's a horrible thing to not receive Him. Because when you don't receive Him, your whole life is going to be troubled. Because see, when God begins to call you, He calls most of us at a very, very young age, even though we're not aware of it. And His grace and His love travels with us through all those avenues and lanes of a sinful life. His heart goes with us to the bar stools and to the honky-tonks, to the houses of prostitution, to the streets at night, because the Spirit of the Lord is there knowing and seeing how tormented this one that He's called is. And doing the things that he's doing or she's doing because of a drunken state. Are you listening to me? This holy God spirit tracks us throughout our lifetime. Because when Jesus was on the cross, you were on His mind. And see, His love had been constant through all these years of my life and yours. You know why you're here this morning? Because of the ordination of God. All the trouble in the hell that most of us have went through to come to these meetings is because there's something that's driving us. Something that's motivating us to get closer to God. And it's the call of Jesus. And He's saying, come. Lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. Come back home. It's like Brother John's testimony. Backslid on God, playing in the honky-tonks. But John's a very talented man. God gifted him with his talent. Backslid on God, goes out to his car. He's troubled in a drunken state because he's so disgusted with himself. The Lord appears to him in the seat. He looks at the Lord and the Lord says, not in a condemning way, because see, the war was over. The conflict was over, brother. That's why He didn't look at you in a condemning way. And He said, John, come on back home. Come on back home. Don't you see? That's the love of Jesus. All through our lives, He's always saying, come on back home. I died for you. I took a whipping for you. I was beaten for you. Now God loves you because of what I've done. God will save you because of what I did. God will heal you because of what I did. You see? Would you bow your heads with me? Oh Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God help us this morning. Lord, I just feel your divineness. I just feel your love this morning. I'm so thankful, Lord, that it's not because of my works that I'll be saved, but because of what you did on that cross. Lord, help us this morning. Come on, let's think upon Him this morning, every person. All heads bowed, and let's meditate as individuals on this Jesus that I've tried to present to you this morning, that has stood in the gap for us. As Moses stood between God and the people, Jesus is standing between God and us. Oh God. Oh Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to put all of our faith and confidence upon You, Lord. Glory to God. Come on, let's think upon Him. Think upon Him. As they sing this song, let's just be still for a little while. I mean, knows it's good to be still for a little bit. Sing it, Brother John.
And sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Sorrow said the Lord spoke to him a few nights ago and said that everyone in this meeting had a need. And I know without a doubt that He is the supplier of whatever we need. As they sing softly, I wanted you to consider your ways. Consider your needs. Consider, what do you want the Lord to do for you this day? Whatever it is, I'm going to give you a moment to slip out of your seat and to come forward, and I'll pray with you. I'll agree with you. I'll take your hand and agree with you that whatever you want from God, in agreement with you, that God will provide it. Come on, if you need the Lord this morning. I feel that some things have been broken in the spirit world. And Brother Shaw, I believe each and every service is something that's breaking. There's a tearing down to some walls. There's some tearing down to some walls. Come on, obey the Lord. It's probably about 6 paces to this front, but it's the longest walk some of us would ever make. It's a walk that the enemy wars to stop us, because it's a step of faith. Come on.
As you walk on,
oh God, Father of glory, our trust, Lord, as we stand here together with my hand upon hers, is not had anything to do with man, but our trust is in You, the living Jesus, that You are able through our faith in Christ, God, to cause men to give unto our bosom, to change the course of history even, to turn everything around for us. I pray for Sister Deanna this morning, God, that You will turn everything around for her. You've seen all that she suffered. No need of me mentioning, God, she knows. And I know just a little bit of what she's been through, what she's endured. Seemed like all hell has been turned loose against her. But God, it was just the enemy to destroy her. Now the enemy is realizing that her faith is not in herself, but it's in Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll turn everything around for her, Lord. Spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, emotionally. God, in every way, Lord, I trust, I'm believing God, I'm agreeing with her that you'll turn everything around. Come on, Sister Glenda, help me pray with her. Keep praying with her. Father, we're agreeing with her. Satan, you're a liar. The truth's not in you. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Lord, I see her, God, with more peace than she's ever had. Lord, I see her with a smile up on her face. God, there's been some changes going on. Lord, it's like the old Deanna of years ago. I see a return of her joy and her happiness and the peace. More peace than she's ever had. Grant it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Keep praying with her, Lord. Sister Linda, please. Lord, I pray for Jason today. Lord, you know his heart and the purposes, God. Of why you've called him, how you've kept him. Lord, all of these years, Lord, he's looked to you. Sometimes in wonderment, sometimes with a desire, God, for fellowship. Lord, of people, men and women of his own age. And Lord, the gift, Lord, that great gift that you put in his life, that he's able to interpret, Lord. Lord, with such fluency, Lord. God, I know it's got to be your gift. I'm asking you to open the door up for him, Lord. Open the door that no man could close. Open the door, God. Lord, that he can be used, Lord. Lord, he wants to interpret. He wants to help people. God, I'm asking, Lord, for the fulfilling of your scripture. God, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Let that gift, God, you placed in his life, let it be manifested, Lord. Speak to him in the midnight hour, Lord. Lord, give him a prayer life like he's never had before. I'm asking you, Lord, to use him in these last days, Lord. Put him in the army of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. God bless you, son. Thank you, Lord. Keep reaching out. Lord, help Linda today, God. Lord, you see the struggles that she's had. Even coming, Lord, even being in the meetings with a baby over there in Knoxville in the hospital, or grandbaby. God, we know all things work together for good. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, this is just the beginning, Lord. God, of these meetings, Lord, and how the enemy has fought. And God, many that would have been here this weekend, but because of the weather couldn't come. But we're here, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, to honor her commitment in being here. Lord, with a refreshing and a change in the atmosphere, Lord. Lord, in her home, among her children, among the tribe there. God, if they choose, Lord, and believe it's your will for them to continue to minister on that reservation, God, I ask you to empower them and give them a people that will help them and support them and be with them, Lord. Otherwise, speak your will to their hearts, Lord. Convict them, Lord, of the direction you would have them to go. I pray for her children. I pray for these grandchildren. Pray for these young men, Lord. God, that their lives would be turned towards you, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, to strengthen him, Lord. Strengthen him in your spirit, Lord. God calls them to recognize that there is a power. The power of the universe, the creator of all things. This God that I'm speaking about, this God that had a son that came in the likeness of human flesh, died on the cross of Calvary, Lord, that they might have access to the kingdom of God, that they might have peace and joy and happiness and eternal life. Open up the scripture to them, Lord. Open up their minds to perceive, their hearts to receive. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, God, a blessing for them, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I pray for Eric this day. Lord, you see the trouble, God, that he's had. Seems like everything that he touches Every direction that it goes in, nothing works out. Lord, I know it's because of the hand and the calling of God in his life. Lord, many years ago I talked to him and I told him that if he would submit himself fully to God, that all the days of his life he would be blessed. But if he failed in doing so, then it would be confusion. Nothing would ever work out. Because of God, not because I wanted it that way, but because I knew your hand was upon his life. I'm asking you, Lord, God, to awaken. Oh, to awaken the Spirit of the living God that dwells within him. Awaken him, Lord, to the realization that the call of God will never subside until obedience is wrought. Help him, Father, this day, God, I ask for your blessings to be restored upon him, Lord. God, to the degree, every degree of his commitment, Lord, I believe that's what the blessings would be. I believe with the fullness of the commitment of his to you would be the fullness of the restoration of blessings in his life. I pray for him this morning, Lord. God, that you will restore everything that has been lost in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Lord, to help him, God, to comprehend without a doubt what we ministered this morning, that our hope is only in the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, let this day, God, be the beginning of a new walk. In Jesus' name. Lord, help her. God, you see all the things that we deal with and face. You see all the troubles that we go through. Lord, we're believing that God, that there's a change coming our way. The Lord, you're going to fulfill our heart's desire. And that desire is only in the things of God. I place my hand upon her this morning, Lord, believing, oh God, that a greater experience than she's ever encountered is on the horizon. And the Lord, you're not only going to speak to her as you have in the past, but it's going to be more personal than ever before. I believe in, Lord, for an appearance of you in her life like she's never experienced. And I pray, Lord, God, that you'd give her, Lord, more messages, God, that would invade the lives of people and change them than she's ever had. Destroy the yoke, God, of the devil. God, that seeks, Lord, to attack us in our bodies, in our finances, and in our spirit realms. Move, God, and we'll praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
In the Master's hand,
yes,
you'll rescue his plan.
Let the Lord
have his way.
One more time about those wasted years. Listen.
Wasted years.
Oh, that's all. All them wasted years. I didn't start serving the Lord until I was 29 years old. That doesn't trouble me. What troubles me is the wasted years since then. I mean, those, we've all had some wasted years. What are you going to do with the rest of your life?
Turn
around.
He's calling you from a life of
wasted years.
Can I sing a verse, brother?